Welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study for the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Everybody, and welcome to the Wednesday night Ladies Bible Study here at the Fishermen Ministry, and we have the crew in Texas. Hello, Robin.
Hello, Rick, and everybody.
And we also have Megan as well as Ann, is that correct?
Yes, hello everyone.
That's right, hello.
Excellent. Well, I'm going to turn it over to you, apologize for the technical difficulties, hopefully things are sorted out, and you guys are ready to roll. Have a great Bible study.
Thank you, Rick. And greetings, everybody. We do apologize. It wasn't Ricky's error. But live and learn. So hopefully hopefully I've learned something here. We actually left off before the conference, having gone through Romans 9:24. And right after the conference, when few people joined us, if anybody, we actually finished the chapter. But it didn't record, so we're going to go back and finish the chapter and look to go into Romans 10 next week. So we're starting tonight technically on Romans 9:25. And I think we're going to go back up just to keep it in context. And I guess, Megan, if you would start on 22 there and read down then through 25.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles? As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved.
Okay. So one thing that a lot of Romans, and certainly the beginning of the first half of chapter 9, Paul is talking about the seed of God and the seed of perdition, or the seed of Satan. And so when you read 22 there, he talks about the vessels, the seed of Satan, that God has endured for however long, we don't know, since the first earth, that he might use them for his wrath. They're destined to wrath. The judgment on them has already come. And then he has the seed of God, whom he, they are vessels of mercy. Now, the beautiful thing about that is not only are, I mean, obviously they're the beneficiaries of that mercy, but that same mercy, it's a pattern for those who would believe, is there for the seed of Adam, which is us. So, in God's plan, he had seed of God, seed of perdition, whereby he was able to demonstrate himself and his love and mercy and his goodness for the seed of Adam's sake. And in verse 24 there, you see, even us, meaning the seed of God, whom he hath called not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, because there are Gentile seed of God also. And then he brings up in verse 25 the prophecy in Hosea, it's OC here, where he says, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And this is in reference to the Gentiles. And then if you just read 26 and stop.
And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God.
And at the end of verse 25 there, we see there where it says, I will call them my people which were not my people. That's people. And her beloved which was not beloved. That her is the city wherein the believers, the people, dwell. And so that city or place becomes beloved of God. And that's what that's referencing. And then it goes down again in 26, and it shall come to pass that in that place, not people, but place, where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there, that place, shall they be called the children of the living God. For me, the beginning of our nation, the United States, was just such a nation where, not a city, but cities probably in particular, some more and some less, but our nation was beloved of God because of the believers in the nation. That is departed. And where he once shed his grace on us.
Definitely we were blessed.
In a way that all the world saw, it's pulled back. And it's in perfect accordance with the Word of God and even these scriptures right here. So before we move into 27, you know, I know something Davey says a lot is, you know, you see bumper stickers and people wearing clothing that say, God bless America. Well, that's one, presumptuous. Two, it's bold, which presumption is. But the other thing is, if we want him to bless our nation, then we have to be a people who are his people.
That's right.
That's the way to get the blessing.
And unfortunately, he's been kicked out of just about every place in this country.
Even churches.
Yes, they're not preaching the word.
And they're also not standing against, that we're no longer the salt of the earth in this nation. And I don't mean particular us, although I think every one of us would say there's a salt to be gained to, by the same token, but there's not enough salt in this nation to hold back the corruption that we see. And it's on those who claim Christ, no one else. So 27.
Esaias also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth.
Okay, so in 25 we had the scripture in Hosea, the word of God from Hosea, and now we have this Esaias. And what he said was that the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. And this speaks to the fact of not all of Israel shall be saved, and a remnant is actually a small portion.
Yes.
It's not the majority. And we're going to, as we go down, we'll be able to talk, I'll probably go back to that. But in verse 28 there, where it says he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. When the Lord does move, and if you look in the Word of God, you see where there was an end to evil, and God judged it, and it was too bad. Gosh, Noah was a great example. For 100 years he preached. There was nobody that repented. So for 100 years, they figured Noah's was preaching a lie. 100 years is a long time. But in the day when God moved, oh yeah, it was fast, it was quick, it was just. And I know it's something that is easy to do, where you think that the status quo means you're okay. And even in this body, I mean, it's something any of us can find ourselves in. And there were two scriptures I'll just throw out there. One is Romans 2:4, that kind of speaks to this to me. It says, well, starting at 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? And that's really that grace and that long-suffering we're under. It's not a justification of us. It is to give us that time to come unto repentance. And the other one is 2 Peter 3:9. And I happen to be using my paper Bible. I apologize. Should have not done that. That says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And for me, you know, you look at how people, and, you know, we look at people and they get away with stuff.
We should think they do.
Yeah. But, I mean, in our hearts, because of time frames, the movement of God seems slack. But his desire is that they would turn. And an example in the Bible is when David ran out of Jerusalem after it was manifest to him what he had done about Bathsheba and Uriah. And one of Saul's relatives was cursing him. And David's men wanted to kill the guy. And David's like, "No, don't touch him. Maybe God has set him for that. You know, maybe this is of God." And, of course, the Lord restores David back as king. But on his deathbed, he reminded Solomon of that man because that man never repented. But you see, there were David gave him whatever length of time that was of the rest of his life to repent. I mean, and in that, God was with David. It wasn't just, "Well, I think maybe I should." It was manifest that the guy was wrong because God was not in agreement with his curses, if you see what I mean. And yet he held to them anyways. But David's heart was right where, first of all, it was God's domain, not his. But second of all, he liked God. I mean, we shouldn't wish any man paid the price for his sin any more than we would be horrified to have to ourselves.
Yeah, in Psalm 73, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it talks about people who are ungodly, who prosper in the world and they increase in riches. And God says in verse 18, "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment that they are utterly consumed with terrors." So there's people out there that we see that seem to be prospering. They're rich, or just they're
immune from difficulty.
Immune from difficulties. You know, judgment is coming, and they're on a slippery slope, and they don't know it because they're denying God.
Like you said, there's a place for grace, and then there's a place the Lord is long suffering. You've read two verses about long suffering. The one we read the last time when we read it tonight, 22. He's long-suffering. And, of course, that's to the vessels of wrath, but he extends grace. He extends grace. I've seen Steve do this. I know David's done this. Extend grace, extend grace, extend grace, extend grace, over and over and over for long periods of time, sometimes years or longer.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day, it's time to call to account. You know, you might look at it as judgment came, so to speak. And there's a short work made. The person makes their decision. And for the most part, you don't see them again.
Well, I know in my own life, there's been times where Davey, for years, has been long-suffering. And then the judgment comes, but I'm ready to repent at that point. It brings it to that head for
me. It's one of the, yeah.
So it works both ways, but certainly there are those who just simply reject, and at some point they get to dwell forever in that choice.
They're called to account.
And we all are.
We're all, absolutely.
But, yes.
Which is one of those reasons why we want to extend grace to each other.
Yes.
Is because without, you know, if you're not at the moment being called to account, there may be a time that you're called to account in something that for the moment, grace is just covering you and you're oblivious to it. So we want to most certainly be gracious to each other and long-suffering with each other so that we receive that back from the Lord as well.
Amen.
In Peter, he says, you know, hope to the end for the grace that shall be brought unto us at the day of Jesus Christ. I might not have gotten that perfect, but really, when we stand before him, it is going to be by that grace that we enter in. Now, God has called us to be his body and walk in his ways, which we have to learn. And we ain't there yet. But the Lord knows how to bring us there, but we have to also come. And that's kind of what I'm saying. When the thing I remember that's most distinct to me is saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Which, I mean, I still do, but I need to not, but it was in a different way. And one day, Davey said, one day I'm going to agree with you. And I'm like, I was going to make faces, but and I remember calling him and saying, "Oh, please don't ever do that." But you know what? I got to where, okay, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. And that seems like a small one. It isn't.
It isn't. Yeah.
But it might seem silly and small. But you know, at the right time, the Lord brings things. But they're the right time where you can also accept them. There are those that don't even start that walk, and the hand is stretched out still until yeah. that day when it no longer is. But so let me see, Megan, if you would then read, if you would just go from 27 to 29, because it kind of goes together there. I stopped you too short.
Esaias also crieth concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And as Esaias said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodoma and been made like unto Gomorrah.
Okay. So that remnant there, and I wanted to bring in 29 there, that of Israel that is saved, they're the ones that heard God's seed, hence saved. And except the Lord had left that seed, Israel would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. That remnant is those that heard. Same now. We're not Israel in the sense of being children of Jacob, but we are those who have heard God's seed. And praise God.
Amen.
Anne, did you have anything?
No.
So, if you'd pick up there on 30 then.
What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed.
Okay. So, Paul, of course, is living in the time when Israel rejected Christ. And we all get why they did when he was on the earth. His own disciples didn't expect him to come and need to do what he did. They didn't see that. But afterwards, there was many who were saved, but basically the truth is Israel rejected and it opened the door for the Gentiles. Now, the Gentiles, praise God, largely, really, because of the Apostle Paul's steadfastness and service to God. Really, he was, though he sinned and he made mistakes, he did not stray. And he is remarkable in that, and not only not straying, but being forward and on the offense about it, always in a position where there were people trying to kill him and destroy him. They maligned him. They did everything. And yet, for the gospel's sake, of which we are the recipients of that stand, he stood. He gave up his life for all that would hear. That's pretty amazing. Not like Jesus, but...
He never lost faith. He always had faith in God. He never doubted that, no matter what he was going through.
He did. He had to have had to choose it a lot of times.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, when you're chained in a prison, or beaten, or stoned, or whatever, he never lost faith.
I would bet when he... One went to Jerusalem and was imprisoned, but also when he went and took that vow, those were times he must have had to, especially that vow one, where he shaved his head and he was going to go through all this stuff, had to have been one that his heart broke before the Lord for having done that. But it taught him. He didn't, you know, the Lord kept him, and that man fought the good fight for the sake of the gospel, for so that people would have it pure to believe.
Amen.
But the Gentiles who believe, what are you believing? You recognize that your only hope is the gift of God's righteousness as yours. And so it's a righteousness by faith, his righteousness, not our own. Whereas the Jews sought to do it by the law, sought to be righteous in and of themselves, not by faith, they were lost. And so it is with anybody, Jews, Gentiles alike. And of course, the Christian church is very much like that. It's the nature of man.
Yes, it is.
Why didn't Israel attain it? Because they didn't do it by faith. But as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. And we know that Jesus is the stumbling stone. And we know the testimony of Jesus is that there is no way, there's nothing we could ever do to put us in right standing with God. And that can be a rather hard pill to swallow. But it is the pill we need to swallow. I feel like I'm reading the Alice in Wonderland. What pill should I take? But I mean, it is, when you're confronted with it, there's the gospel. It's just the truth. Thankfully, we don't live in that confrontation, but he is our only hope. And that means that there is nothing about us that is reconcilable, deserving, righteous, acceptable to God. Nothing in our natural man. Nothing. It all dwells in him, period.
Amen.
And then in Psalm 118 is where it is, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense." It is offense, an offense. We are by nature offended at the gospel. So we can be offended at having to actually stand because of it and then alone, but we are also offended when somebody else does it. Because, I mean, truth of the matter is we can see they don't deserve it. Oftentimes, but that's the point of it. We don't. So we're all on the same exact playing field. Not one is better than the other. The eyes of God.
Sometimes we're offended by the gospel because it shows us our sins, our shortcomings, our bad attitudes,
our depravity.
Yeah. It shows how the things we consider to be worth offering are unofferable and unacceptable.
That's right.
It's an interesting thing because, you know, it talks about walking by faith or walking by sight. And walking by faith, there's an element, not that you never know if that what you do is of the Lord, but it's something where you trust him and then you serve him in that which we know. We know a lot. We've all read this word. And there's stuff we can learn that is in agreement with it, you know, his ways. But he seeks to get us to a place where we just simply believe him. And he doesn't always have to come pat us on the back and tell us, "Oh, you're okay."
I think some of his grace towards us is that periodically we get to see the fruit of something, like somebody we ministered to, you know, in time past, or something that has happened that has you know, the walk by faith doesn't have very many signs along the way that what you're doing is right and, you know, you're getting the reward of it kind of thing. Think of Psalm 73. And now and then, maybe you meet up with someone or you get a note or you find out something that shows, actually, you know what? The Lord was there then, just as he's there now. And sometimes you get to see that, and that's a wonderful blessing.
Well, and it, with one example of that was J.B. had felt led to go in and prophesy to a man in a bar. And the guy totally rejected him. It was like 20 years later, we get a phone call. We were on satellite radio, and some reason, it wasn't the channel he was looking for. All of a sudden, he ended up on our channel and realized who it was. And he called and said that everything he had said that day was came to pass, and that he turned his life around and he was following Jesus. I mean, it was 20 years or thereabout before Davy found that there was fruit from that walking in faith, walking into that bar, and prophesying to a stranger.
I was telling someone that same story today.
Were you?
Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing when Davey talks about, and Steve preached on it, I think, on Sunday, Hebrews 4, labor to enter into that rest. Davey's confession is that's where he rests. And that is that faith that which Christ said he would do, you know, Lord, put your words in my mouth, Lord, that Christ will do it. And that's the one that we can struggle to believe because we look at ourselves and think, there ain't no validity to me. But we got to make that switch. And it's by choosing it and then choosing it again. And
over again.
Yeah. But it's humbling. But I personally, honestly, no matter how it feels, I'm thankful that God has put us in earthen vessels that ain't going to shine. It's good. And that's why it goes there, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We're not going to be ashamed in that day. People may look at us and think ill of us, and we have to stand against that and not submit to it. But no, we're on the right side. We're serving the victor.
Yeah. Lately, anybody who says they're a Christian, and they don't even have to be a real Christian, they're just ridiculed and put down. And sometimes it is hard to stand against that, because none of us like to feel that someone doesn't like us or they think bad of us. But we have to remember, what's Jesus think of us?
Yeah. We also have to trust him to show us things. So I can see at times where what'll hit me and make me rock, fall, whatever it is I particularly do. And sometimes I can choose against it. Sometimes I can see the downward progression from a point. But the thing is we're answerable to God by faith. And even if we are in the wrong, we can trust him to show us where and why so we can repent. So even a judgment, or I was going to say accusation, but a lot of times it's really a judgment. It's an accusatory judgment. Isn't something that should knock us down. It might make us reflective, and it might have truth to it. Don't get me wrong, but we don't stand because we don't have things to learn and that we don't do things wrong. We stand because we believe it. Part of that is that he's well able to guide and direct our paths and show us that which we need. And we just got to be willing to trust him for it and get over ourselves, you know. But Paul, very much what we've read thus far, really puts out God's plan whereby it needed the vessels fitted for wrath and the vessels fitted for glory for Adam's sake. And it is because of that that thereafter
10,000, however many years this earth has been moving along, that there is a continuous remnant that are saved. I will say probably in every generation.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's larger, sometimes it's smaller, you know, kind of the breathe in, breathe out. But we don't live by our own works or our own opinion of ourselves or what we see. We live by the faith of Christ.
Amen.
Doesn't that sound like we're just fine and dandy all the time?
I wish.
But we are in Christ if we'll just trust Him. Sometimes it's got to wrestle that one down, but praise God, it's there to be wrestled. So, I know there's been a little bit of chat here, but I think there are more statements. Yeah, as we live in today, it is a daily choice we make to trust in the Lord, nothing else. That is true. Tomorrow we'll get to do it again. Can't do it for tomorrow. We can't do anything about yesterday except for trust Him to have it swallowed up.
We can repent from yesterday and choose to do. Showing repentance means you do something different today. And I mention that because there was a long period of time where every night, I've said this in Bible study one time, I'd pray and say, Lord, I'm so sorry for, you know, not doing right by my children. You know, please don't hold it to them, whatever. You know, I'm a homeschooling mom. Please forgive me for not taking the time with them. For months and months and endless months, praying the same thing at night when I went to bed because I felt guilty. And the next morning, doing nothing different. Until one day I realized, well, nothing's going to change. And there comes a point where the Lord says, really, you're sorry? You know, I mean, He doesn't necessarily say that, but that's not repentance.
Yep.
Repentance means, you know what? I don't want tomorrow to look like today. Let's go ahead and do something. Trust Him. Pray, lift it up to Him. And then walk in it and take that step of faith.
And I'm glad you said that, because it's not a matter of getting up and changing everything and being self-righteous, although there's an aspect of that, because if you're like me, we haven't been doing some of the things we know to be doing. Therefore, yes, start doing them. But it's really a choice to trust God, notwithstanding. And I think homeschooling, especially in those early years where you kind of get in the routine established for all of you, it can be disheveling for how you feel about yourself in the midst of that. I would think that is just plain and simple common amongst all. But I know you said something to your dad before this ever got started about how you trusted the Lord for it. And yet the walking that out, you had to go through learning how to do that. Meaning you found out you weren't. But, I mean, it's really, if you look at it positively, you had to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
And you are, and have, and will continue to do so. And it's, you know, I mean, I know you, Anne, has pointed out success that you miss. And stuff, but and we need that, because
sometimes we see our failures.
Yeah,
we don't see our successes.
Yeah,
and it helps sometimes if someone say, "Hey, you are doing this right," and then we can continue on and grow, not to build our pride,
yeah,
but to let us learn,
kind of relax and go forward.
Yeah,
yeah,
because we all see our failures. I mean, every day I see my failures, and just have to just keep going forward, just keep looking toward Him.
Because it's the stumbling block the stumbling block.
Stone.
Stumbling stone and rock of offense. But it's that you have failures. So what? That's part of the rock, stumbling stone. It's part of the offense is that you do continue to see failure.
Your flesh is always going to.
Aren't doing it right.
I know the way I put it is when I'm doing that, which I do, sometimes for longer periods, sometimes for very short periods, and sometimes I just put it off. Yay! But I'm looking in the wrong place.
Yeah.
But when we see our failures, we can repent and do it different.
Well, not only that, just turn your face towards the Lord. I mean, you got yourself looking in the wrong place.
Absolutely.
And it's not so much that there's repentance, because my flesh is my flesh, but their hope is in Him, and in that is the overcoming and the growth. So get my eyes off of the fact that in me there is no
good thing.
Growth, or right, no yeah. good thing. But in Him, that's all that's there. So when I'm looking at me, oh yeah, I don't care, good day, bad day, because if you've done a great thing, then you think you're great. If you've done His poor thing, then you think you're terrible. It just is always going to lead you in the wrong place. He never will. And we have to set our faces towards Him.
That's where Paul says, forgetting the things that are past. He doesn't specify the places I failed and stumbled and fell, or the things I actually did right that showed evidence that I trust the Lord. All things, because they're gone. And my faith today, now, has to be in Him. Fight. Because that's...
And that's what Gail was saying. I mean, today is the day
that's
we
right.
fight.
Yep.
Tomorrow, we have to do it again. If we had a pretty crappy fight today, doesn't stop us from a good fight for the rest of the day and the rest of our lives. So, anyways.
Praise God.
Amen. Yes. So, I pray that you all have been blessed by going through the end of 9 there, and look forward to looking into Romans 10 next week with you. May the Lord bless you as you walk after Him.
Amen. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.